mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the most deadly weather danger isn't tornadoes or hurricanes or even floods or lightning. It's heat, something we have plenty of this week. We'll talk about how to recognize the signs when you or someone else is in trouble and how to help. Also this morning, with the extreme weather conditions, 50 North is providing an air-conditioned escape for seniors needing relief. And does it feel like less work seems to get done at work this time of year? Well, it's not your imagination. So what can you do to avoid the summer slump? This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, June 19th, 2024. Did you hear the news? More animals got loose at Cedar Point this week, or over the weekend. You remember they had the camels that got loose. There was video of it that made national headlines. The camels strolling along the Frontier Trail got loose from the petting zoo. For the second time, more animals got loose from their enclosures at the Cedar Point Barnyard. Goats escaped this time from over the weekend. So a little less dramatic than the camels. little less. I mean, there were people scrambling when the camels got loose. Understandably so. Those are big animals, and they can do some damage if they want to. The goats, not so much. They're much less intimidating. Let's see here. Just days after camels broke free from their enclosures in the same area over the weekend, goats escaped from the barnyard. This comes as PETA has already called for a federal investigation to be opened into the incident regarding the camels following the goat incident. PETA now calling on Cedar Point to close its petting zoo area altogether. The park responded to the most recent incident by saying it has been in contact with Honey Hill Farm, a Kentucky-based company that supplies the staff, animals, and operations for the petting zoo. So we'll see if what comes next. Maybe that's a new feature this year. Go to Cedar Point and see which animals they let go out of the petting zoo and roam the grounds. What will it be this week? Camels? It was goats? What'll it be next? Let's see. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started. Did I say it was Tuesday just a moment ago? I apologize. If I said it was Tuesday, I'm going to blame it on the heat. I'm just all discombobulated here with the heat. It's making me a little loopy here. It is Wednesday. For some reason, it says on my sheet here that it is Tuesday, the 18th of June. Today is obviously the 19th day of June, a Wednesday. So, man, I don't want to make this week last any longer than it has to. So I apologize if I said that wrong, because I just realized here in the paper in front of me, it says it is the 18th again. Anyway, this was pretty good news. The first of the local area county fairs going to be opening next week, the Putnam County Fair, will run through the summer, the Hancock County Fair sort of being the culmination at the end of the summer, Labor Day weekend. All county and independent fairs across Ohio are getting grant funding from the state of Ohio. The governor announced a total of $10 million in investments in fairs across the state yesterday. The total disbursement for most of the fairs, $107,000. They split it up evenly, and there were only a couple of independent fairs, I think, they requested less than the $107,000. But every other fair going to get $107,000 to make improvements to fairgrounds facilities, to improve maintenance of the properties and make improvements. Could be new grandstands, could be renovated restrooms, could be making things more accessible for those with disabilities. And the projects really vary across the state based on local needs, which is kind of the cool part of this. The state did not say what they had to use the money for. It's just whatever you need it to do on the fairgrounds. So I will follow up on that, find out what is going to be, you know, how the money will be used in Hancock County. But that is really cool. And of course, you know, the governor is really big into fairs. I mean, he's really a big fan of county fairs, of the state fair. He has a huge plan to completely rework the state fairgrounds for the new millennia. And it's going to cost a heck of a lot more than $107,000. It's going to cost millions upon millions of dollars to make the governor's dream vision come to fruition. But kind of cool that they're giving all of that money to the fairgrounds across the state of Ohio. So that was kind of an interesting story yesterday, in case you missed that. Also, another Ohio-based story that is good news for the state economy: Google investing billions more dollars into the Buckeye State. The company says $2.3 billion being invested into existing data centers in Columbus, Lancaster, and New Albany. The funding will go toward the continued innovation of Google Cloud services and artificial intelligence. And again, this has been one of the priorities of the governor, of the State Department of Development, economic development interests throughout the state, is to make Ohio sort of the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. And with the Intel investment, Google now another $2.3 billion, Amazon investing a lot of money in the state of Ohio, we are positioned to become a critical technology hub in this part of the country. A couple of other items among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. It's been very hot this week, and yesterday, you remember, we had the story about certain medications. You got to be, if you're taking certain medications for like high blood pressure and certain other conditions, you got to be very careful in the heat, because the side effects from the medications can make it more difficult for the body to adjust and deal with the extreme heat. Well, here is another interesting medical, I don't want to say oddity, but a medical fact with respect to the heat and how it affects the human body. For women, British sports scientists have found that it may be harder for women with large busts to keep cool. I'm not kidding. This is true medical research. They found that big-chested women sweat less than those with smaller cup sizes. This is the University of Southampton in Britain. They studied women of varying ages and sizes and discovered that the density of sweat glands reduced as breast size grew larger. Who knew? These findings, they say, could help. Now, these are sports scientists, so the idea was they wanted to help companies create sports bras that are more comfortable for women who are participating in athletic activities. But it says, while smaller bras can be more cooling, they also may provide less support, and larger-chested women need both the cooling effect and the coverage. So that's what precipitated the study. But it's interesting to know, when it comes to the extreme weather conditions that we are experiencing this week. I'm just here to make sure that you're aware of the latest scientific info. It's all in the name of science. It's all in the name of science. And finally, this morning, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day: bad news for night owls. Now, anyone who's up at this hour of the morning probably did not get to bed, you know, after 1 a.m. But this is, so this may not apply directly to you, but I bring it up. A new study out of Stanford University shows that going to bed late is bad for your mental health. Researchers found that going to bed by 1 a.m. can reduce the risk of developing depression and anxiety, regardless of your chronotype. The chronotype is your natural preferred sleeping time. Some people are naturally night owls. Some people are naturally early birds. So whatever your chronotype, it doesn't matter. The later you go to bed, the more likely you are to develop depression and anxiety, according to this research. They don't know why, but they found that people who get up early and make the most out of the daylight hours have the best mental health. One way or the other, researchers say regardless of when you go to bed, 7 to 9 hours of sleep is optimum. But I bring it up because if you're up this morning and your spouse or your kids are not, it's okay to go ahead and wake them up, is the way I read that. That's you're just looking out for their long-term mental health. That's going, wake them up. Don't let them be grumpy. You can use the excuse, I'm saving your mental health, preserving your mental health. Not sure that they'll see it that way, but you can use that excuse if you have to wake up your kids, wake up your spouse early this morning. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today, a chance of showers or a storm, high in the mid-90s. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-70s. This extremely hot weather isn't going away anytime soon. Forecasters say we'll be in the 90s all week long with feels-like temperatures around 100 at times. For people that don't have air conditioning or that just need a break from the heat, some cooling stations have been set up in Findlay. Those cooling stations are at St. Andrew's Church Annex at 214 West Sandusky Street in Findlay, 50 North at 339 East Melrose Avenue in Findlay for City of Findlay and Hancock County residents 50 and older. And the other cooling station is City Mission at 510 West Main Cross Street. Remember, you can always get the latest forecast and weather alerts on our website. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is deflecting questions about his relationship with former First Energy executives.
DeWine seemed frustrated with questions after reporters asked him about the $500,000 the now indicted CEO put into a PAC for him.
Let me just say, I followed the law. You know, you're not going to see me violate the law.
Already this year, First Energy CEO Chuck Jones and Senior VP Michael Dowling were charged with bribery. Plus, former House Speaker Larry Householder is serving a 20-year prison sentence.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. The Blanchard Valley Health Foundation hosted the 35th annual Julie Cole Charity Golf Classic at the Findlay Country Club. Julie Cole, a former LPGA professional, established the tournament in 1989 to raise money for hospice. And for 35 consecutive years now, she's returned to her hometown of Findlay, raising more than $3 million for local beneficiaries. Get more in this story on our website. County fairs across Ohio are getting a financial boost from the state.
Almost every county fair is getting a little more than $100,000. The money will go toward a variety of projects, including new grandstands, renovating the restrooms, and improving accessibility.
The Putnam County Fair is next week, while the Hancock County Fair will run August 27th through September 2nd. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So now our cover story this morning. You know, I was actually a little surprised to learn this factoid when I heard this. The most deadly weather danger. It's not tornadoes or hurricanes, not even floods or lightning. It is heat. And that is certainly something that we have plenty of this week. Joining us this morning to talk about how to recognize the signs when someone is in trouble and how to help is Jennifer Campbell. She is a certified physician assistant at Physicians Plus. And Jennifer, is there a cumulative effect of all of this? I mean, I know psychologically there is a cumulative effect of having day after day after day of extreme heat. But physically, does that have a cumulative effect on the body as well?
Well, good morning. Yes, of course. That can definitely have an effect, especially if you're not getting any sort of relief in between your exposures to heat. Those who are particularly prone to having some side effects from all this heat exposure are those who are more chronically ill, the elderly, small children. They have a harder time combating this heat. So if they've got that constant exposure without any relief in a cool space, air conditioning, then yes, this is going to affect quite a toll on them.
And obviously, that's one of the things, the issues this week, is that even the overnight lows are in the upper 70s and even 80s late at night. So it doesn't actually get real cool naturally before the next day comes and we, you know, get back up toward the triple digits all over again. So what is the guidance? I mean, what is the best advice for minimizing that exposure?
Sure. So, of course, you know, the best advice I could give you is make some lifestyle changes. You know, if you're not in a high heat sort of condition, you're not thinking about the clothing you're wearing, you're not thinking about the food you're eating. But now that we're all exposed to this higher heat, we need to be thinking, eat smaller and lighter meals. Mm-hmm. Less protein actually would be a very good thing to consider, because protein increases your metabolic rate, which increases the internal heat within your body. Mm. So if you have those lighter, smaller meals, you wear some cooler clothing, lighter clothing, you think about maybe decaf or no alcohol this week, and have fluids that are more electrolyte-rich, water, Gatorade, liquid IV, Pedialyte. Just making those subtle lifestyle changes can make a huge difference this week to combat the heat.
You mentioned hydration. That is so important, and we say it all the time. Make sure you stay properly hydrated. But what is the definition of proper hydration? How much and what kind of hydration is best?
Sure. So being hydrated, it's different per person how much you need to drink. You know, it's all about body mass. But a good rule of thumb is to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. And, you know, water doesn't just come from drinking that glass straight in front of you. It can also come from the foods that you're eating, the drinks that you're drinking. But you need to remember that the drinks that you're drinking can also dehydrate you. And that's why I recommend, you know, stay away from the alcohol this week, switch to decaf, because both of those things are actually diuretics. They're going to cause you to actually urinate more. You're losing water if you drink those things. So, you know, just consider the things that you're putting in your body this week.
You mentioned diuretics. They act as natural diuretics, some of those beverages. And we were talking about this yesterday on the program. It is something that I hadn't really given much thought to. Some of the medications that people may be on may have side effects that make it more difficult to deal with the extreme heat.
That's absolutely right. Different medications are already acting as diuretics. So those who are, you know, battling chronic illnesses and not experiencing those side effects with their medications because they're well balanced, and now we have this higher heat combating everything, adding to it, you know, it would be a very wise decision to just call your family doctor if you're concerned at all, and discuss with them, you know, your medications and your concerns, so that they can help you to kind of alter what you need to do. And those who are chronically ill, you know, we really just got to make sure that, you know, they're staying in touch with their family doctor if they're not feeling quite right, because, you know, they may have some of those subtle effects of dehydration that we may be less prone to, those of us who are not combating those illnesses.
Yeah, it could be having an impact without us even realizing it. They're kind of going on behind the scenes, as it were. So establishing all of that, let's talk about some of these signs that someone is in distress. What are we looking for to know if maybe we ourselves or somebody that we are with has overdone it a bit?
Absolutely. We actually range, you know, of course, with anything, there's a range of this is a very mild reaction to this is a life-threatening reaction. Those mild reactions are going to be the typical things that you feel. You're a little bit tired. Maybe you have a very mild headache. You actually feel thirsty. You're still sweating. Your body temperature feels like it's elevating, but if you were to take your temperature is normal. So that's just the mild sort of version. You get into a shady spot, you feel better. The more severe signs that you need to keep an eye out for, these are things that now are going into the definition of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Heat exhaustion being the milder version and heat stroke being the much more severe version. So heat exhaustion, you're going to sweat still. You may experience some nausea. You might be starting to vomit. you could have more severe headaches, you're getting real tired and weak, you know, you may start to notice your heart rate's increasing and you're breathing faster. This is your body trying to get rid of that excess heat. Now, at this point, you could get a little bit dizzy, but all of these things will improve if you go into a shady and cool spot, drink small sips of water within about 30 minutes.
Okay.
If you are not seeing that improvement in 30 minutes, then we are going to start worrying. We want to get you into the hospital and consider just IV hydration rather than just oral fluid hydration with those good electrolytes.
Okay. All right.
So if you're not improving, you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. You mentioned the different levels. So we talk about heat stress, heat exhaustion. What are the signs that we are getting into that real danger zone of heat stroke?
Yes, so heat stroke. Now, at this point, your body temperature is elevated on the inside. Heat exhaustion, you are going to elevate maybe to 104, just so you're aware. A fever with heat exhaustion is possible, but that goes away in 30 minutes with treatment. Heat stroke, your body temperature will be 104, 105. You're going to be confused, delirious. You could hallucinate, have seizures. You're not going to be walking straight. Your speech is going to be altered. Heart rate's up. Breathing's up. You're going to be feeling really sick. Your skin might also be dry. You may stop sweating. Now, if this is caused by running around and playing, you may still be sweating. But the classic presentation is you just have stopped sweating. Your body is no longer able to get rid of that excess heat for you.
Yeah.
You also may be vomiting, diarrhea. It's not going to improve in 30 minutes of you just sitting in the shade and drinking small sips of water.
You talk about some of the actions to take when someone is in distress. What about the actions not to take? I've often heard that there are things that you don't want to do to somebody who's suffering from the effects of the heat that can actually make things worse.
So the most important thing is to get them into a cool space and loosen their clothing. You're not going to want to pile on. They may shiver. They may be showing signs that they're overcompensating. Don't pile things onto them. That may seem common sense, but when someone's shaken with fever, we tend to put blankets on them. That's not what you want to do. You want to remove clothing, loosen clothing. You don't want to put them into an ice bath. You don't want to give them ice water. You don't want to have them chug fluids. It's those small, small sips that are important. And then if they're feeling really nauseous and like, oh my gosh, I'm going to vomit, stop the water. Because if we do have someone vomit, they've lost all this good fluid inside of their body. So we've actually worsened the situation.
And when we talk about, you know, some of these warning signs and it's time to seek professional health, get to the emergency room, we're not talking, get there, at some point in the future. This becomes a medical emergency.
Absolutely. You've got someone you think may have heat stroke, you just call 911.
Yeah. So very important to recognize the signs, again, of the different levels of heat stress and take the appropriate action at those. And again, as you were mentioning, if you have any questions, if you're not sure, it's one of those things you're better off to err on the side of caution.
Absolutely. Heat exhaustion and heat stroke are life-threatening. So you don't want to shrug these off. You don't want to say, oh, they'll be better soon.
Yeah.
You definitely want to. You take those precautions.
Again, Jennifer Campbell is a certified physician assistant at Physicians Plus with us this morning, talking about the effects of the heat that we are seeing an awful lot of this week, and especially from this point on to the rest of the week is actually going to be, at least according to the forecast, maybe the hottest days. You think it's been really hot over the past couple of days. The next two or three days could be even warmer. So definitely want to be on the alert for this. Jennifer, thanks very much for the information. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thank you.
Go on to our webpage, goodmornings.net. We can get you some more information on what to do and what not to do to deal with the effects of the heat. So again, we're just in the middle of this heat wave, this early summer heat wave, and 50 North is among the locations that are designated cooling centers with the extreme weather conditions, prior to providing an air-conditioned escape for those who need a little relief. Carolyn Kopas is director of 50 North with us this morning. Carolyn, thanks very much for dropping by. This really is sort of the mission of 50 North, protecting the well-being of seniors within the community.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, each of us, not only 50 North, but each of us, as we're, you know, commanded to do, is take care of, you know, our neighbors. So I always say, please check on if you have someone who's an older adult, especially if they don't have air conditioning and you do, invite them in and make sure that they're drinking enough and staying cool. If you don't have that opportunity, please feel welcome to come to 50 North. We're open at 7 in the morning until 8 at night. And there's so many activities that you can do. It doesn't cost anything to come in or be even sign up to be a member. We have cards going on and board games and puzzles, and there's a library. We have a coffee bar, all that's kind of hot, but we'll have some water that you can socialize and talk to people.
Yeah.
And if you're
one, got the cafe at lunchtime.
And again, there's just so much going on and so many people that come through our doors. And if you're one of those people who are like, you know, I've been wanting to go and see 50 North, but I kind of timid about going through those doors the first time, this is a great time to come and visit, take a tour. We'll be there. We'll welcome you as family. And we hope that if you are needing that relief from this heat, please come and see us and get cooled down.
It's a perfect excuse to
visit
for the first time. And again, you mentioned there are all kinds of activities, and we talk quite often about some of the structured activities, the classes, and certainly those things are going on. And you could, if you are interested, avail yourself of all of those. But then it's just socializing.
It is. It's really awesome. We have what we call the commons, and we have a living room area. And what we're seeing, and that's where the coffee bar is, that, you know, we probably have 40 or 50 seats in that area, and half of them are full. And there's people that don't know each other that got to know each other, and now they kind of gather.
Yeah.
It's just one of those places. Same thing with our cafe. It does cost, obviously, for the food. But what we do that's kind of unique is, we seat people together. Say there's a party of four, but it's a six top. We'll put two more people with you. And so you just get to know people that you would not have gotten to know before.
Yeah. Now, all of that being said, if you want to just kind of sit in a corner and read a book, enjoy the air conditioning, you're welcome to do that as well.
Absolutely. We do have a great library. A lot of people, we don't turn the fireplace on right now, but with the ambiance, we have a nice couch and chairs that we do have people who just come and will read and hang out. And it's just that they don't want to be, you know, alone. And even if they're reading, but there's other people around.
Exactly.
And it's a great atmosphere.
Yeah. And again, air conditioned, it's an opportunity to maybe get some relief from the heat, because as you were mentioning, it is so important to check on your family, your friends, your neighbors, to make sure that they're not struggling in all of this.
Absolutely. And you know, last week when we were talking about being the cooling station, those numbers were 98, 99, not that 92, 93, 94 highs aren't terrible.
Yeah.
But Monday was tough.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I felt like there was a little relief in the heat. We've got guys out doing chores. We're making sure they're hydrated. But that's the most important thing, is to drink water. And even when you don't think you're thirsty, just keep drinking water and keep hydrated.
We talk about the importance of checking on our older friends and neighbors and family members. And sometimes, as we all know, sometimes those folks can be maybe a little obstinate about about opening up, saying, you know, they're fiercely independent, want to remain so, and, you know, I'm fine, I don't need any.
That's part of our mission, is supporting that independence. And what I like is, not only do we have tour guys out there, our social workers, but we deliver mobile meals. And so, you know, we have volunteers that are out there checking on people that don't come to our building. But, you know, we probably go to about 100 homes a day between chore, outreach, mobile meals, and just checking on people. So, you know, they even though they might, we call them curmudgeons sometimes, you know, they really.
Which, by the way, is not necessarily always a bad thing. I think of myself as a curmudgeon.
Oh, sometimes. I love that so word.
I love that.
I love that people have that tenacity and that attitude. And so they really, you know, go and see them anyway.
Lovable curmudgeon.
That's right.
That's what I consider myself. A lovable curmudgeon. As we mentioned, if you do need an escape from the heat, the 50 North is a cooling center. And like you said, if you have never been before, it's easy and it's free to become a member. So what is that process?
I mean, it's really easy. You come in and we have member services right there, and you just say, I'd like to have a tour. And we don't even, you know, schedule appointments. It's just spontaneous. Come in. We'll see who's available. Some people are like, I just want to look around myself. And then you fill out one side of a sheet of paper just giving us your information. And then we give you what we call a key tag, so that when you come in, even if you're just doing a friendly visit, mm-hmm. you just swipe in. It's really easy. Say what you're doing for the day. Why is that important to scan and do all that? It helps us in our programming. It also helps us in our funding.
Okay. So you can do that today.
If today.
Never been. 50 North, you're open now and open until?
8 o'clock.
Okay. So.
And any day, every day, whether it's cool out or hot out, please, you're welcome.
Yeah.
That's your home. Please come and visit us at 50 North if you're 50 and older, and get engaged. And a lot of times people get involved being a volunteer, but you just come and visit, and I bet you'll love it.
We've got a link up for more information at our webpage. Carolyn Kopas with 50 North with us this morning. Again, very, very important to make sure that we are all staying safe in these extreme weather conditions. Carolyn, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Information that makes a difference. Good mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
You just can't make this stuff up. This is... this is maybe one of the funniest stories, the dumbest criminals, one of the funniest stories about one of the dumbest criminals we've had in a long time. And it is, out of Florida, of course, Polk County, Florida, fugitive running from the law decided that he would hole up in the ceiling of his workplace. That's what he thought would be the best hiding place. Be in the ceiling of his workplace. And the plan might have actually worked had his cell phone not gone off. after Polk County Sheriff's Office deputies scoured the place for clues as to Joshua Garrett's whereabouts, they couldn't find him. Anyway, they searched everywhere they could think of, could not find him. And it was right about then, they were about ready to give up, that the ring from his cell phone revealed his hiding place and led to his ultimate capture. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you have to hide from the law in the ceiling of your workplace, make sure you mute your phone. Put it on vibrate or just turn it off. You know, what I want to know in this story is who was calling him, because I'm thinking maybe it was a friend or coworker calling him to say, hey, do you know the police are looking for you? Oh, my goodness. Almost got away with it. We're not for his cell phone. I'm thinking, you know what, they probably could have just pinged his phone, too. That probably would have been the next thing. It probably didn't matter that the phone went off. Made it easier for them, but they probably would have pinged the phone and found him anyway. But this is so much funnier. Elsewhere in the broken news, this also out of the state of Florida. And who doesn't love Little Debbie Honey Bun? They are yummy. But as yummy as they are, Are they worth going to jail? Apparently, that was a fair trade-off for one man who is back behind bars after a dispute over the honey buns. Little Debbie honey buns. That's right. Andre Eason, age 47, and his 39-year-old girlfriend apparently got into an argument about the pastry outside a Walmart store in St. Petersburg, Florida. During the argument, Mr. Eason allegedly, reportedly, smacked the victim in the face, causing minor redness, as according to the arrest report. Mr. Eason was placed into custody for domestic battery and has been banned from having any contact with the victim. And no honey buns. I mean, they're yummy. I get it. They're very yummy. But worth a trip to jail? I don't know. I understand. You get caught up in the whole thing. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news. Speaking of dumb criminals, police are on the search for a bicyclist who made off with the tip jar at a restaurant in Port Charlotte, Florida, a little more than a week ago. Actually, I say it was a tip jar. It was more than a tip jar. It actually contained donations from patrons and fellow workers on behalf of the kitchen manager at the restaurant who had just had a baby that needed intensive care at the hospital. Now, that is the lowest of the low. You can steal donations meant for a child in the hospital. Witnesses say, and here's the thing, it's not like this guy didn't know what he was doing. Witnesses say that the biker spent several minutes reading the note on the jar describing the kitchen manager's plight with her child and the medical bills and all that. And he read through the whole thing before he grabbed the money and took off with it. The diner has resumed its fundraising efforts. So, and still, I want to find out. I don't have the name of the restaurant. I want to find out the name of the restaurant. I want to donate just because make up for this moron. Hopefully they catch this guy and throw the book at him. That should be a death penalty for that guy. That's terrible. They're still on the search for the biker. Speaking of a serial criminals and people who just can't stay on the right side of the law, a bear has been accused of breaking into no less than 5 homes in California in a 2-hour span on Thursday. A bear are getting to 5 different homes. The Sierra Madre Police Department responded to calls that the Bruin had invaded 4 homes and a garage. While one of the homes was occupied during the break-in, the resident stayed safe by locking herself in her bedroom while the bear rummaged through the kitchen. Lori DeVault captured video footage of the bear's escapades. She said, "It just opened the freezer and took my packaged chicken." The bear was also spotted on a neighbor's doorbell cam, security cam, with the bag of packaged chicken hanging from its mouth. Bear was hungry. Broke into 5 homes in 2 hours. Wow. That is a crime spree in California. And finally, in the broken news this morning, is a cautionary tale for the next time you travel. Have you ever flown somewhere and the airline lost your luggage? You never know where your bag might end up. And that's why those Apple AirTags and similar devices become very popular to help people track down their missing luggage. One woman found her bag at a homeless encampment in Hollywood. Ani Grace had placed an AirTag in her bag in case it got lost so she could be able to track it. And sure enough, she was told by American Airlines that the bag was delivered to her home. But of course, she knew better. The AirTag indicated that it was actually in Hollywood, slowly moving down Western Avenue near Santa Monica Boulevard. So she jumped in her car and she went to go track down her bag. Upon reaching the location, she found her bag at a homeless encampment, opened with its contents removed. After giving some money to a homeless person who claimed to have bought the bag, she was able to retrieve her belongings. She says other travel bags were also at the encampment, suggesting that those may have been left unattended at the airport, could have been taken, or maybe they were lost luggage as well. And how it ended up in the encampment, she doesn't know. American Airlines says they are investigating. Isn't that crazy? How would that end up in a homeless encampment? Man. I'll tell you, that is one of those. I know a lot of folks, when they fly, they will not pack anything larger than a carry-on because, you know, I don't trust the airlines to. I've never had that happen personally where the airlines, knock wood, I've never had it where an airline has actually lost my bag. I've had a couple damaged, but never lost. But cautionary tale there. There you go. Today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Every parent knows the struggle. Getting your kids to bed at a decent time, especially in the summer, right? A survey of nearly 1,000 parents with kids under the age of 7 finds that 90% have a set bedtime routine, which is important. Establishing a consistent bedtime routine is critical, say just about every parenting expert out there. Have to have a bedtime routine. It's critical. 90% of us do. And you know the routine, right? You brush your teeth, you read them a bedtime story, maybe you take a bath, you get a drink of water, you know, that whole bedtime routine. Maybe it's formal, maybe it's kind of informal, but you have that routine. That doesn't, even though you have a routine, though, 90% of parents do, that doesn't necessarily mean it's always easy. Again, especially this time of year, 27% of parents in the survey say getting their kids to bed is a challenge. It's difficult. 31%, and so here's what we do to get our kids to go down for the night. 31% stay in their child's room until they fall asleep. 31%. 10% of kids start off the night in their own bed, but eventually move into their parents' room. 23% of parents say it's anxiety that keeps their kids up at night. Kind of interesting. And 65% say that they can't get their kids to stop playing. Again, especially in the summertime. You know, when you don't have to use the, hey, you got to get up early for school the next morning. According to Sarah Clark, a parenting expert, when children don't get enough rest, it can impact their physical development, their emotional regulation, and their behavior. Again, every parent knows this. That's why it's very important to stick to that bedtime routine, even during the summertime. Well, does it feel like less work seems to get done at work during the summer months? It is not your imagination. Studies indeed show that work productivity does suffer, sometimes significantly, this time of year. Scott Dust is with us this morning. He is Chief Research Officer at Cloverleaf, the leading automated coaching technology platform for business, with some advice on addressing the summer slump. And Scott, we know that people often take vacation time in the summer, obviously, and that's going to impact productivity somewhat, but you say it goes far beyond that. What is going on here?
Yeah, it does go beyond that. So psychologically, we are what's called entrained to align our motivation, our energy with the social systems and the signals that surround us. So just as an example, what do you think is the least productive day of the week: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
I would say Friday.
Go ahead. Exactly, because we have these tendencies to do certain things on Friday, whether it's, you know, take your flex day or for whatever else reason it's closest to the weekend. We want to get prepared for the weekend. The same type of phenomenon happens at the seasonal scale. So I've done research where it looks at that weekly entrainment perspective. Motivation and performance trajectories decline from Monday to Friday. A similar entrainment phenomenon happens across seasons. Summer typically sends signals of we're going to have fun, we're going to relax, we're going on holiday, whatever it might be. And because of those signals, it also signals psychologically that we can engage at a different pace or a different level of focus, whatever it might be. So there are some things, not just structurally because people go on vacation, but also psychologically.
So are we kind of jealous of our kids being out of school and having all the time in the world to just goof off and do whatever they want?
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. And that's actually another element in that when you are at that age, if you have children or if you are a caretaker, that also makes it hard because structurally there's probably less hours in the day. School ends up being longer than some of these summer oriented events. Therefore, there's less hours. But in addition to that, kids, when they're in that zone of summertime, it is more about camp and play as opposed to this learning, which might have a different connotation in an educational environment.
Yeah.
And some of that is just by observation, right? So social contagion effect.
Yeah, so it kind of rubs off on us. It sounds like this can happen almost invisibly without us even realizing it.
That's right. Yep, it's in the back of our head. It is subconscious in that we're not even really recognizing that it's going on. And I'm glad you brought that up because just like at the work week level, right, this whole entrainment theory perspective, and in research that we did, we published this in Journal of Applied Psychology a few years ago, what we found was that there was a decline in motivation and performance across the work week for those that were lower in trait-based mindfulness, this ability to be present, have non-judgmental attention and awareness at all times. For those that were higher in mindfulness, or said maybe differently, just being aware of where we are in our surroundings and understanding all of these situational stimuli, it was completely flat. You did not see a downward trajectory across the work week. So you can extrapolate that to the seasonal perspective of recognizing, oh, there is this extra input that is causing me to maybe act differently than I would in other seasons. I should pay attention to that and then schedule my day or pay attention to these things in ways that ensure it stays consistent across time.
One of the things that's kind of interesting, you talk about how it can impact a business. The lost productivity can lead to morale problems, conflict within or between teams, and so on. So this is something that can snowball pretty quickly.
It can. And if you're not paying attention to strategically, what are we going to do about it? You might have some challenges. So one overall recommendation I offer employers is that we have to be realistic, right? You're not going to necessarily be able to dial in or dial out exactly how much productivity you want at any different season. Instead, I would recommend that you roll with it. Focus on the types of activities that make sense for that specific season. So for example, as a faculty member for the University of Cincinnati, I'm in charge of professional programs. A lot of organizations use that specific summertime to focus on leadership development, executive education, many MBA programs, because they know this is the time where people are engaged in that type of mindset. Let's kind of regroup. Let's do the things that are a little bit more long-term oriented and growth-oriented, as opposed to the hustle and bustle of what we traditionally do when we have the deadlines coming up of January 1st or the calendar year. So investing in culture, thinking of the things that we can do given the circumstances we have ourselves, that we have in front of us, a lot of times can be beneficial, right? If organizations kind of pay attention proactively to align it with what the employees think.
Would there also be any benefit in taking maybe a second look at ideas like the 4-day work week or hybrid scheduling just for the summer? Maybe it's something you can't or don't want to do all the time, but recognizing that otherwise you might be fighting a losing battle, this might be a way to minimize that lapse in attention and focus?
That's a great point. So I am a huge advocate for each organization recognizing that they are unique and that they need to understand What is their business cycle? What do their employees need? What do each employee in different roles need at different times of the week, of the season, whatever it might be? And if that in your tool chest entails using flex work or remote work or hybrid opportunities, then go for it. I think the challenge is that when we roll it out for everybody for all of the time is actually when you're going to miss out on some opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things can be very beneficial if you pay attention to doing it strategically as opposed to just all at once. But I do think, yes, those are great opportunities. For example, an organization that recognizes there's less seasonal demands in the summer, why not make that a little bit more liberal in terms of virtual work or hybrid schedule or what, or 4-day work week, whatever it might be.
Yeah. You talk about a couple of things that businesses can do at sort of the top level looking down. What about from the individual level? I'm thinking about this and thinking, yeah, I do sort of lose some of my mojo during the summer months. What can I do at an individual level to prevent that from happening to the extent that I can?
Great question. So I have five recommendations. Number one, think about what might be your most meaningful projects, things you're really excited about, and it doesn't even feel like work. Those might be the types of things that you want to try and schedule in or use some time block planning to insert into your schedule during those months where it feels like it's kind of hard to stay motivated because of all the surroundings. The second thing is acknowledge that this is a reality and do your best to stay present. Simply just acknowledging that this is happening from this entrainment theory mentality and becoming more mindful and more recognizing that this is a thing can ensure that you're self-regulating away from, you know, those dips in productivity. A third thing is time tracking to make sure that you're hitting specific goals. This is something that I think some professions do out of necessity, but we all could be doing it and at least paying attention to the buckets of time where we're spending doing email versus meetings versus long-term projects versus deep thinking versus short-term projects. If people can have some type of approach to doing that, we can make sure that we're staying on top of how much time we're investing in the right type of projects. You can use free apps. There's plenty of free time trackers that are out there that you can download, as well just use Google Calendar. If you, in retrospect, go and you schedule the time that you used for something, whether it was, you know, I did email during this time, or I did deep thinking during this time, you can change it by category or by color, and then retroactively it calculates it all for you. So then you can start to get a feel for what you're doing. So keep the score and the score gets better. The fourth thing is have a plan in advance. So a lot of times emotions take over when we get that sense of, I really just don't want to do that. But if we let our logic dictate where we want to spend time and how we want to spend our time, that has to happen a priori. Right? So think of that on a Sunday of what you want to accomplish Monday through Friday. And then the fifth thing is when you are distracted, because you inevitably will be, don't stare at the blank screen. Figure out what you need to do in order to regroup and get started. A lot of people just spin their wheels because they don't feel like it. But a lot of times there is better things that we can do with that downtime that is semi-productive or getting us prepared to be productive.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I am certainly guilty of that. Again, Scott Dust is with us this morning, Chief Research Officer at Cloverleaf, the leading automated coaching technology platform for business, with some advice on addressing the summer slump that is, in fact, very, very real. Scott, where do you have more information on your website?
Yep, you can go to scottdust.com and look for resources. I'd also recommend, if you're interested in Cloverleaf, go on to cloverleaf.me. For example, one of our assessments is Energy Rhythm. It helps understand how different people's energy are utilized best across different times of day. Aggregated at the group level, it tends to be very informative for ensuring that your group works well together. And as well, if people are interested in more programmatic offerings for themselves or their employer, they can go to Linder College of Business and look for some of those executive development and exec leadership offerings.
Scott, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, lowering the cost of life-saving but incredibly expensive medication has been a big part of the healthcare reform narrative. one federal program that has been doing that for more than 30 years now has some critics saying it's in need of reform itself. We'll take a closer look. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.